Welcome to the Magic and Mindfulness Podcast. You're joining me, Amy Maxwell, on my journey of understanding the world of light magic in order to cultivate mindful living. I'm so excited for you to join me on this path of discovery. Hello, welcome back. Today I'm speaking to Belle Senlier, who is an artist, speaker, mentor, and storyteller in the world of tarot. Belle is also the creator of her own tarot deck called Claridad, which is available in her native tongue of Spanish. However, as Belle is now living in the UK and reading tarot at some of the most well-known spiritual stores in London, she also has plans to launch her deck in English later this year. You heard it here first. I was so excited to bring the theme of tarot back to season 3, as some of you who may have listened to one of our first ever episodes in season 1 will know that we covered tarot as an introduction back then. But this was a few years ago, and since then I've dived deeply into the tarot, and now I'm reading for my own clients and for myself, and have built up my own very specific style and way of reading. So I was really buzzing to revisit this theme of the tarot, as now that I have a somewhat deeper understanding, I hope that it helps to open up the conversation around tarot into new and interesting avenues. Belle is very well known for the way she reads the tarot, and I love that she brings an interpretation of how to read cards that were made centuries ago and bring them into a more modern and relatable perspective. So today, she unpacks and questions in today's world how we could be reading the archetypes of cards from a non-binary and more fluid lens. This conversation today is for tarot nerds and newbies in the mystical realms alike. We push the conversation towards opening up more modern-day relatable normalities and while still holding respect for the traditions of the tarot of old. I hope you're going to love this one. It's a super witchy one on the tarot, so let's do it. Let's start the show. So, hi, Belle. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. How are you doing?
Oh, thank you for having me, Amy. I'm very good. I'm very excited to be here. So, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm super looking forward to this as well. I'm really happy that we're speaking about the tarot today after also, having you as one of my teachers as part of one of the courses and sort of seeing how passionate you are about the tarot and all the work that you do in the space. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to diving in, and I think it would be really nice. I know that I know you quite well and know how you approach the tarot. But for some of the listeners maybe who don't know who you are, would you mind just sharing a little bit more about yourself and also in relation to the tarot, kind of how you started out on your journey with it?
Yeah, of course. I'm Belle. Hello, everyone. I've been working for tarot now for like more than, let's say, around 10, 11 years, kind of. I also designed a tarot deck. It's called Clarity in English, which I made because I think representation is important for reading cards, and it's important for arriving to new meanings, to new functions, for new ways of seeing the world, and to also arrive hopefully to new possibilities for all of us. In the past 2 years, I also work with exploring creating non-conventional oracles with like non-conventional materials, as like applying everything I do with tarot with, I don't know, materials like sand or the wind or animals or objects or spaces or movement or things like that. So yes, my approach is very visual.
Yeah.
It's very relational. It's very material, like materialistic, like in the sense of like, that's not the right word in English, but in the sense of I really work with the material that I have there. Like I work with the images in case of tarot. I work with the lines. I work with the directions. I work with the colors. I work with the vibrations of them. I work with contexts, with the landscapes that they create, the movement that they have, even though they are ecstatic apparently, but I swear they do interact with each other. So yes, I have that. Well, I also work with flowers. I love flowers. That's why I came to the UK, because the flowers here are amazing.
Do you think so? That's so funny. And I would love it actually if you wouldn't mind sharing before we click record as well. I know that you have been reading the tarot for a long time. And you do have a sort of particular style as well, which is also why I wanted to discuss with you today, because when I did a tarot course with you last year, you do kind of read from a sort of very imagery led approach, also quite a non-binary approach as well, and sort of kind of deconstructing kind of maybe some of the older constructs of the tarot. I don't know if that's fair to say, but I would love to know maybe a bit more about how you really started with reading. And you mentioned before we click record about actually just reading from playing cards to begin with. Would you mind sharing a little bit more about your journey with that?
Yes, of course. I think I'm very open for my practice to change and evolve. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that I do appreciate of what I do with this, like, because it just changes. Like, I don't know, in maybe 5 years ago or 7 years ago, I had an approach that maybe wasn't so focus on, okay, what's actually happening there? No, like what's actually happening in the images? What's actually happening in the scene and in the context and all these kind of things that make it more maybe like a storytelling kind of style? Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, I was more reading, let's say, in an archetypical kind of way. Mm-hmm. I have always worked since the beginning. I have always worked with walk-ins, like just random people coming in random places for readings. And most of those people come with very concrete and practical and everyday issues. I'm saying most, but not everyone. No.
Yeah.
But it's very unlikely that someone will come to talk about an archetype in the
yeah, true, like a queen or king sense.
Exactly, in that like a little bit more almost mythological or even historical or poetical kind of understanding or philosophical way of understanding the cards.
I
noticed at one point that was like people were really coming for things that were a little bit more down to earth. Mm-hmm. So that's where I also started to study, for example, with other people, like with people who don't follow archetypical methods, like Camelia Elias or Enrique Enriquez. Well, I can mention many, but they are more based in Spanish methods and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they are slightly more orientated to fortune telling and prediction. And I found it quite useful if you are also like working with more present based readings, like as if those methods also can apply. And yes, I think is this, I think nowadays I'm in this point of integrating all of those things that can be a little bit more nourishing, but at the same time, like very, very rich, but at the same time can sometimes be not as always useful for the yeah. everyday.
A little bit outdated, perhaps. Yeah.
And outdated, or yes, like something I sometimes just struggle with, I have to say, in spirituality in general, but with tarot, because it's my main practice, is the thing as if sometimes those things are just passed on to us without addressing where are they coming from and who said this, like why are we repeating this? So that's something that in the archetypical way of relating to them,
yeah,
sometimes it's like that, as if we tend to repeat. Yeah, like one of the most obvious for me, it's the, because you mentioned the thing of the non-binary kind of approach, or like one of the most common for me, it's this concept of like the divine energy of masculine, I don't know, the divine masculine or divine feminine, or especially with the word divine there, because like gender, it's a social construct, it's not it's something that it's actually there, like it changes through every culture, it changes through every different periods in history, it changes to every it changes also with the place in which we are based, it changes through time, it changes everything.
Yeah,
so it's sometimes it's like okay, but who told you
that who's defining that? I think it's a really interesting way of looking at the tarot, and actually thanks for sharing, you know, your thoughts. And you know, it is so cool to have different, you know, readers and practitioners, because obviously everyone comes with their own style. And I think, you know, when doing the course with you, that was really interesting for me to also think about that, yeah, from my side, and think like, actually, yeah, why is it that we kind of have some of these labels and just take things as they are? And I think someone who's, you know, I've been reading the tarot for a couple of years now, you know, thinking about the archetypes, you know, from like the kings, the queens, the page, the knights, for example. Like I'm from the UK, so I think potentially I have a sort of stronger, you know, maybe relation to those archetypes, because I actually, you know, did grow up with the queen in my life as a child. But there's just definitely something that I couldn't relate to personally. So I think when we're being asked to talk about in the tarot these archetypes, it can feel very far removed, just on a really down to earth level, as you were saying. So I wonder actually, Belle, like if you wouldn't mind, like, I guess you've already sort of answered the question, but maybe you can expand on it a little. It's like, do you believe that we can actually relate to those cards, how we function today? And is that something that you sort of do in your readings? Would you read from an archetypal perspective still now, or is that something that you sort of try to adapt to a more modern, or maybe different way of reading, I suppose, if that's fair to say?
I love that because yes, I think we can and we do, but I think in some way I don't know, at least for me, my conception of what makes me relate to them, it's like as if I need to make them personal, no? So they make sense
to you.
Me.
Yeah.
Constellation. And as for example, I don't know, I'm working with a teacher of chaos magic, and one of the main things that we have been doing and practicing has the thing of like being able to get to know which are your, let's say, cultural ancestors, cultural influences, which are for you your cultural archetypes of things, like Which maybe, you know, for him, because he's from here, David Bowie is one of those, or, you know, the, so where, which for you represent particular things, you know,
and, oh, that's cool.
And for me, it's like, okay, how can, which ones are mine? Which ones are yours? How do they operate in your own constellation, which might be way much different to how they operate for other people. So I think with the cards we can do the same. Of course, it's a bit tricky the moment in which we are sometimes in relation to this, because it's, we are using a tool that's medieval and European and Christian, and sometimes it's as if we are really trying to anachronically put it there into those representations and images and names and the structure, things that are from today. So yeah. I think it's important to address context, you know, to contextualize things. I think it's important. I always use, for example, I always offer in my sessions the opportunity for the people who come to for them to choose a tarot deck. Like, I always offer one or two contemporary ones and one or two historical ones.
Yeah,
so nice. Because yes, like, of course we are not separated from the from context, so we are not separated from our past. Especially, for example, well, I know you are from the UK, and in my case, like, I'm from Latin America, and my dad is from Spain, so I have also influence from Europe. So it's kind of like those patterns that we observe in those cards that are Christian, medieval, and European, they still operate in some ways, even though we don't want to, in our relationships, in our thoughts, in our archetypes, in our ideas of things and our constructions, in our relationships with our boss, or in paying taxes for the queen, or, you know, many, many things. So it's like, I don't think we should be against that or something like that. Otherwise, we would be, I think, pulling away something that it is in us. Like, we should just, the best is to integrate them.
Yeah.
Of course, with contemporary representations, I think we are able to open new possibilities, because that's something that we also need.
That's really cool. No, I love that so much. I think it's just a great take, and a very modern take. And I think, you know, also just, you know, speaking about, as again, just before we click record, because we were chatting for a little bit just about, you know, kind of the scene within tarot and like the different way people are reading, and kind of also drawing new audiences in as well, to kind of be open and comfortable perhaps to readings, and who might have not been in the past, just based on the sort of preconceptions of what the tarot is, which we were discussing before, is that's, you know, in some places is still, well, you were just sharing right with me that certain places that you've been, it's, you've been turned away from where you've been reading, because just in public spaces, because it's just not socially acceptable, because there is still, you know, potentially the stigma attached to what the tarot does.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, still there are people who think what we do is, I don't know, immoral or illegal or
scary. Yeah. Actually, it would be super nice. Would you mind sharing an example then, potentially, of how you would read or translate an older archetype of a card and make it more relevant today, like from your deck, or the way that you would read a queen now, or how would you translate that into a different way?
Yes, of course. I was thinking of, I don't know why, but I was thinking of one, and maybe because we named the queen. So I was thinking of, for example, the Queen of Coins, or Queen of Pentacles, depending which traditional deck we are using, or and yes, like, for example, if In a more archetypical way, we can think of that as, for example, Mother Nature. I was thinking of how, okay, maybe in a want to like maybe in today life, maybe we can think of that as actually the taxes that we pay to monarchy. As if something we cannot disobey, no, as something that we just do it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking something that comes to me just thinking of that representation is also the silence and what the environment gives you.
Okay.
What the environment or what's around you gives the character.
Yes.
That could be the essence of the earth, another way of approaching the same kind of archetype.
I love that so much. And your cards that you've created, are they in Spanish only, or do you have an English translation for them as well?
In April,
there'll be an English. Okay.
Yes, which is made by, I have it here, I will show it to you after.
Yeah.
it was made by Watkins.
Okay.
Editorial here, an editorial and a bookstore here in London.
Great. That's really cool. I think it's just great to have. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Well, I think it's really nice just to have these kind of different associations. And I think what you were also sort of picking up on before is that, you know, for people who do read the tarot or potentially come for a reading, right, it's sort of, yeah, just building a relationship of how these cards speak to you, because I guess, yeah, if you can't relate to them, like, then it's really difficult. I think it's also made me reflect on how I read it in terms of, like, you know, if I'm saying to someone, oh, how would you feel if you're embodying that queen archetype or king archetype? Or, you know, I think it is just something potentially that we've picked up on as readers, just because the most of the cards are quite traditional. But I think it is really cool to kind of push the boundaries a little bit with actually, or not even boundaries, because it's just actually representing how we, yeah, truly live today in a sort of modern society. And I'd love to know, actually, you mentioned also that you kind of give that option of, you know, when you have a client, of, you know, reading from a potentially more of a newer version deck or some of the older sort of more archetypal imagery. But how would you say that we can sort of respect those traditions of the tarot, but also kind of still try and push the norm and the boundaries of some of those cards in a more modern way?
Oof, such a good question. I mean, one thing that I think it's important is that we don't impose into the person we have in front of us knowledge, things, ideas. No, it's like we don't impose. It's the thing of, like, you just said a question, no? Like, you just said this very nice question of, like, how do you embody a king, no? A king of, I don't know, cups, let's say. Mm-hmm. I think it's very important to not impose what I have read from all the authors I have read, from all the methods that I have read about the king of cups into the person when I'm making that question. Because right. What I'm offering is the possibility for the person to reflect and to actually add something genuine to that king of cups.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter in the end if the person says something that for you is like, this doesn't make sense to the king of cups. Mm-hmm. That's not the real point, I think.
It's in relation to that person again, isn't it? It's kind of like what you do is also really empowering that person that you're reading for to put... And I've had a lot of conversations about this at the moment in the world of tarot, because I think that, you know, and again, there's like nothing wrong if you do read that way. But I think when I have clients sometimes come to me for readings, the way I read is a kind of, I guess I'm also like sort of in the middle of that sort of old archetypal way, but also wanting to make sure that the person does feel empowered. And I'm not just like, you know, like you were saying, like preaching out the cards. But I think sometimes I don't know if you've actually ever experienced that, Bell, or maybe not now so much because you're, you know, really established reader, but there is sort of maybe that, you know, that older preconception as well that, you know, people are going to come to you for you to give them all the answers. I don't know if you've kind of had that experience or just from the way that you read, I guess it is just putting the power back into that person, right?
That's great, because I have two things to say about that so I don't forget. One is I always address in our first session that I have with anyone that I don't know you more than you. No one else. And I always say, I know it sounds silly when I'm saying this to you, but I think it's important to remind.
Love that. Yeah.
It is a very vulnerable space.
Yeah.
And sometimes people come to tarot when they don't have answers in other things, or they might be, for example, ashamed of naming certain things with their partners or themselves or their therapists even. Like, it's crazy, but it's a one-time thing. There is other kind of freedom and there is other kind of intensity as well. So I think it's very important to say that. And in the same way that I always address this, like I always say, I'm going to see you one time now for 1 hour, 1 hour and a half. Of course, your life is way much bigger and complicated and complex and this and that. So I always, even in the general kind of readings that some people ask me or things like that, I always work with, I always say, this is just a piece of something that's bigger.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And the other thing I was going to say is the thing of, like, I always say to my students that, which are my colleagues because they are tarot readers as well, but yeah, I always say this thing of, like, we should be aware of the questions as, like, shall I, could I, would I, because what they actually, which are the 90% of the questions you receive, start with that.
Yeah.
So we should be a little bit like judgmental of those questions, because those questions actually are saying, what would you do?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think I should do? And it's like, I don't know, no? So I, in order for me with the cards to pull something that can be useful for you to get to find an answer, I'd need more context. So for example, if you are like, what shall I do in my work? Okay, what shall you do with your work? Are you thinking of switching? Yes, I'm thinking of leaving this work and find another one. Okay, what is important to you? More money, more time off? Do you need more holidays? I don't know. Do you need it to be closer to where you live? Like, what are the things that for you are important? So when I'm pulling the cards, I can search for those things in order to give you an answer that gets closer to that.
Yeah.
Not so like, okay, in between these two options, like staying in the one you have or finding something new, like, okay, I am seeing more money here, so you should stay. Yeah. I don't know if more money is important to you. I don't know if more free time is important to you. I don't know if you are new in a country, if you are have a partner on your own, if you have I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, cool. Yeah.
And this, yes, I love that so much. And it's really like, I love that the way you read like that. It's like you really build a conversation around what you're actually seeing as well, right? And like with that person. And I remember really well from doing the course of you, like, I really found it so cool how you read the cards in such a expansive way from the imagery and like really unpacked like such fine details that I actually, I really remember this from training with you, because I have a tendency, I think, to sort of read in a really intuitive way, and sometimes not even look at the cards. But actually, you know, there can be, and I guess it depends on which deck that you read from as well, but there can be such insight from just like really paying attention and being present to the images as well, and building conversation around that.
I love this, because I always say something that I know it, I don't want it to sound bad, but sometimes for me it's like, okay, if you are not reading the cards, I don't use them.
Right.
Like, that's what I sometimes say, because I see in many of my colleagues / students that sometimes it's as if they, for example, receive information,
right, or
they receive it from like I don't know, in a sensitive,
like the psychic senses kind of thing.
Psychic senses, yeah. Or even sometimes they generate opinions based on commonsensical answers, when it's like, yes, you are, what, just by hearing what you are saying, I can arrive to certain conclusions, which I don't think any of these things, it's like bad, no,
or right, something.
The opposite. It's very useful that someone can receive some. It happens to me, or sometimes it's this. Oh, I'm hearing this. Like, you are just, right, you just said this. So what I try to do is, I always say, because I think it's important in terms of being honest with the service we are providing. Like, if I'm a tarot reader, I read tarot. I read cards. Otherwise, I do something else. As, for example, a psychic reading, or I don't know, it's just a chat or something else. So that's why I focus on the cards. And when I have something else, as, for example, something is this is coming to me, or this is something I dreamt the night before you
have a
session with you, and now I notice this is relevant, or these kind of things, I always address them. And I always say, please, this thing I'm going to say to you, I'm not able to see it in the cards.
Yeah.
These other things, yes, because that's what the people are there for, I think. They are there for tarot.
Yeah.
It's a way, I think, of honoring the tool we are using.
Right. And that kind of answers my question, I think, as well. In terms of the way you read, it's kind of like, yeah, taking that sort of traditional sense of like reading the actual card. But you are sort of also pushing the boundaries in the way that you read, in terms of changing those sort of older archetypes and making them more relevant today. So I think you really just full circled back to that question, actually, which I love. I just love it, Belle. I really enjoy the way that you read. And I think, you know, also like people can find, you know, people always find who resonates for them, don't they, at the time. And like kind of what you were saying at the beginning with the oracles that you love, it's sort of like the oracle finds you at the right time.
100%. In the same way that they always find, sometimes when I give them the opportunity to choose, like, which deck do you want to for today? Like, do you want a contemporary? And I very quickly show them the
the images. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. And in the end, it's like the one you're going to choose is the one that will speak to you, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
the first one. Yeah, usually it's like when you go to a crystal shop, right? It's like normally it's the first crystal you pick up and you walk around for an hour and then you come back to that same one.
That one.
Yeah. You're like, I was going to pick that. Oh, well, thank you so much. It's been such a good chat. And I know that you're full of knowledge. And you're also, we were just chatting as well before we recorded, you've got some really exciting things coming up this year. Would you mind sharing some of the stuff that you're doing, because it's just amazing?
Yes. I'm very grateful to everyone, to life itself, for this, because yes, I'm I am in Tarot School for She's Lost Control. I'm teaching there. I'm also, running my course, which is called Oracular Spectacular.
Love that.
Yeah.
Cool name.
for creating oracles with non-conventional materials. Then I will be a speaker in the UK Tarot Conference 2023, which is, I don't know, I think for everyone listening to this that it's interested in tarot, I mean, it's great. I think people with loads of knowledge are going to be sharing their what they are investigating and researching on tarot. So yeah, I'm very glad because I know some of them because I read their books.
Oh, so cool.
So I'm surprised and I'm quite grateful that they contacted me to do something. I think it's great.
It's amazing. It's really cool.
And then I'm going in March. I will be a speaker in the Tarot Congress in Spain. Well, in Catalonia. So yes, it's my first time there being a speaker. Amazing. So yes. Also, I'm releasing my deck in English finally in April through Watkins. So yeah, it's going to be there, and that's all. Enough.
That's a lot. But no, it's really,
that's
really
a lot.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there's going to be. Well, that's already great. So we should celebrate that. I'm sure there's more to come for you in the future. But yeah, I'm definitely going to try and make it to London in October for the Tarot Conference. I think that will be so interesting. And yeah, for sure. Actually, probably when this episode comes out, your deck will be available in the UK because I think this episode will be coming out in April 2023-ish. So we can link your deck in the show notes, which would be awesome. And thank you so much, Belle. And yeah, just such a pleasure to chat to you today.
Thank you, Wumi. Thank you so much. I'm very honored to be sharing this conversation with you. I think it's amazing. Like every time that someone does something like this, no, like just for the sake of sharing knowledge, having conversations around tarot, I celebrate it. And I think it deserves to be heard and supported. So thank you
so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Magic and Mindfulness podcast, the podcast designed for the modern mystic and spiritually curious. This season, creative production is by Emily Lasbury and co-production by George Lasbury. If you'd like to stay connected to what we're up to, make sure you follow us on Instagram at Magic and Mindfulness. And maybe share these episodes with a friend or give us a review or subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. This helps us to keep spreading the message and light work that we do. We appreciate every single one of you that tunes in. So stay well, stay safe, and see you soon.